A metallurgist in 1960s Greece showed his young son how iron transforms under heat, soft and malleable when glowing red, then suddenly hard as diamond after a cold plunge. This metal changed everything, the father explained, but it hardened not just our plows, also our souls. That boy grew up to become Yanis Varoufakis, Greece's former finance minister, and decades later, he'd argue that another transformation has occurred, one we've barely noticed. Capitalism, the system that shaped our world for centuries, is dead, not overthrown by revolution or strangled by regulation, but replaced by something stranger, techno-feudalism. We're now digital serfs in Jeff Bezos's kingdom, unpaid laborers building Mark Zuckerberg's empire, subjects in a new feudal order where cloud rent has murdered profit. In 1993, as the internet's first browsers flickered to life, that Greek metallurgist posed a question to his son. Now that computers speak to each other, will this network make capitalism impossible to overthrow or reveal its fatal weakness? The question lingered unanswered for 30 years, through financial crashes and tech booms, through the rise of Amazon and the fall of Lehman Brothers. The answer, it turns out, contains a twist neither imagined. The internet didn't strengthen or weaken capitalism. It killed it entirely and erected something different in its place. Capitalism thrives on contradictions. When the son's mother complained her factory wage paid for her time, but not her passion, she revealed labor's dual nature: commodity labor, hours sold for wages, and experiential labor, creativity and care that can't be purchased. Employers buy workers' time, but receive their uncommodifiable passion free, the very element breathing value into products. This theft forms capitalism's secret engine. Remember Don Draper pitching Kodak's Carousel, transforming a slide projector into a time machine powered by nostalgia? That represented capitalism's golden age, when manufacturing desire became as important as manufacturing goods. A Hershey bar became the simulacrum of paternal love. Burger King represented family reunion. But Draper's manipulation was one-way communication. Today's digital assistants create permanent two-way streets between our souls and cloud systems. We train Alexa, then Alexa trains us to train it better, curating our tastes by conditioning our preferences. An endless loop emerges where it guides our behavior in ways lucrative for its owners. We've moved from capitalism commodifying our nostalgia to techno-feudalism colonizing our present. Capitalism's molecular structure changed in 2008. Governments bailed out bankers while imposing austerity on workers. Central banks printed trillions, but this money didn't flow into factories or wages. It inflated asset prices, creating gilded stagnation where only cloud capital thrived. In summer 2020, Britain announced its worst recession in history, national income plummeting 20.4%. The London Stock Exchange jumped 2.3%. This wasn't paradox, but proof. The financial world had decoupled from capitalism itself. Traders understood catastrophic news would trigger central bank money printing flowing directly to them. Profit became optional. Amazon's Irish operation, $44 billion in sales, zero corporate tax. Tesla's shares soared despite minimal profits. Traditional capitalists sat confused, while cloudalists like Bezos and Musk used appreciating shares as collateral to build empires. They weren't creating commodities for sale. Search results, digital assistants, social platforms capture attention, not profit. They were constructing digital fiefdoms. Amazon isn't a marketplace, it's a fief. Bezos's algorithm intermediates every interaction, controlling the entire realm. Amazon's relationship with vendors mirrors feudalism. Jeff grants digital fiefs for a fee, then deploys his algo sheriff to collect. He's not a capitalist extracting profit, he's a lord extracting rent. Techno-feudalism's most impressive trick, commanding us to contribute to its reproduction without compensation. The most valuable components of cloud capital aren't servers or cables, but the content we freely provide. Facebook stories, TikTok videos, Instagram photos, Amazon reviews, our movements tracked by Google Maps. We are cloud serfs, building the structures that extract wealth from actual capitalists. When Apple invited third-party developers to create apps and took a 30% cut, it achieved genius, an army of unwaged laborers whose work made iPhones irreplaceable. Cloud capital now forces traditional businesses to operate as vassals paying tribute to cloudalists. Meanwhile, warehouse workers scan 1,800 packages hourly, struggling against machine-dictated pacing. Cloud algorithms merely replaced physical conveyor belts in driving workers to exhaustion. Trump's 2019 Huawei ban and Biden's semiconductor restrictions weren't about communism or Taiwan. They emerged from techno-feudalism's threat to American supremacy. China's cloudalists built super apps integrating communication, entertainment, commerce, and finance directly connected to government. WeChat transmits 38 billion messages daily while enabling payments, a 360-degree view accumulating cloud capital beyond Silicon Valley's reach. Unlike physical exports dependent on America's trade deficit and dollar supremacy, Chinese cloud services like TikTok extract rents directly from U.S. markets. Biden's microchip ban represents economic warfare aimed at crippling Chinese cloud finance before it matures. Yet it drives capitalists worldwide toward China's system, with even Western Europeans opening digital yuan accounts. Just as early capitalism's market hunger led to imperialism and world wars, techno-feudalism divides the world into antagonistic cloud fiefs. Europe lacks cloud capital to compete, rendering it geopolitically irrelevant. The global South faces crushing dollar debt and forced allegiance. Climate cooperation becomes nearly impossible when global unity is destroyed. In August 2000, artist Stellark performed with Movitar, an exoskeleton controlled remotely by anonymous internet users. This prophetic artwork captured our present, humans at the mercy of hyper-connected algorithmic systems. Cloud capital has extinguished the liberal individual. Today's young people curate online identities as personal brands, constantly testing opinions against perceived consensus. Traditional resistance strategies fail against techno-feudalism. Cloudalists fear neither unions nor regulation. Cloud proles are too weak to organize. Cloud serfs don't consider themselves producers. Price regulation is irrelevant when services are free. Yet techno-feudalism enables powerful new collective action, cloud mobilization, that flips traditional organizing's calculus. Instead of maximum personal sacrifice for minimal gain, minimal personal sacrifice can yield substantial collective impact. We need a grand coalition including cloud serfs, cloud proles, and even vassal capitalists. The internet spawned capital that killed capitalism, replacing it with algorithmic control of our minds, platform exploitation of our labor, and cloudless domination of our futures. Yet liberation tools exist. Central bank digital wallets for universal basic income, democratically run corporations with one non-transferable vote per employee, and monetary commons overseen by randomly selected citizens. We face a stark choice, not capitalism versus socialism, capitalism is dead, but techno-feudalism's tightening grip versus genuine alternatives, collective ownership of cloud capital, democratic control of algorithms, reclaimed digital commons. Your data built their kingdoms. Your attention funds their empires. Your free labor forged your own chains. But the same networks enabling exploitation can enable liberation. To own our minds individually, we must own cloud capital collectively. The revolution won't be televised, it will be cloud mobilized. The question is whether we'll recognize our serfdom before the digital drawbridge closes forever.